Y'all are a blessing. You know, sometimes it's even hard for us to accept the truth of the fact that we are even a blessing. You know, I don't consider myself that. You probably don't yourself often, but you know, God says that you are. If God didn't want you to be here, he'd just take you out, you know, but he has you here because you are to be a blessing. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing. And the more of him that we are able to release through our lives, because we are yielding to him, because we are obedient to him, because we walk closely with the Lord, the more of Jesus that people see, the greater the blessing we're going to be in this world. Amen? And so we're being changed into his image from glory to glory as we behold him, as we approach him. You know, we are to set our affections on things above where Christ is seated. Amen? At the right hand of the Father. And we're not to just be preoccupied with temporary things of this life, because our assignment, amen, is eternal. There's going to be eternal fruit, amen, if we are obedient to Christ and we do what we've been called to do in the time that we've been allotted to do it. If you're in a race, there's a certain time frame, amen, for you to finish your course. Some people were going to be running right through the finish line, just lickety-split. Other people, they might have fallen out a few times along the way and gotten weary, but they got back in, amen, and they continue to run. And then there's others who, you know, they just come dragging through the finish line. But thank God, you know, they completed their course. But I want to suggest to you tonight, folks, that God gives us a time and a season for everything that he's called us to do. In other words, if you don't move when you're supposed to move, you can miss what God is wanting to accomplish in your life. Yeah. You can lose your rewards. You can start out well and end poorly. Yes. There are many examples throughout Scripture of those who began well and ended poorly. We are not of those who shrink back under destruction, but we believe to the saving of the soul. We believe that, you know, we have a goal ahead of us, and his name is Jesus. He's the one that we're running towards. We're actually in pursuit of him. As we seek him, we will find him. Now, again, God is so precious. God is so holy. God is so desirable. He is so lovely that he is worthy to be sought. When we've used this illustration before, but if you are to look for something that is hidden, that is of great value, you will go to great lengths to find that treasure. People risk their lives. They spend their lives. They spend their savings even sometimes just to go on a trip to hopefully find a greater treasure. Well, the awesome thing about the kingdom is this, is that the treasure is there, and the treasure is available to you, because our great treasure is Jesus himself. And so he has allowed us access to come to him, who is our exceeding great reward. And as we pursue and go after him, and we encounter him, then the lesser things, the things that we may had to give up so that we might be in that place with him, who cares? There was a lot of stuff that I thought was going to be a sacrifice, that after I gave it up for Jesus, I discovered it wasn't even a sacrifice. It was worthless. Paul said it this way, it was dung. You know, the things that I was pursuing, the temporary things, the empty things of this life, compared to knowing him, to knowing Christ. So we're in a pursuit of God's very heart to seek and to find him who is our exceeding great reward. He's our exceeding joy. He's our treasure. You are my treasure. And you know what? The Lord finds you and I also to be his treasure. We're seeking him. Guess what? He first sought you. Amen? He sought out you. He came knocking. And He came knocking in all kinds of ways. We may not have had any idea or any desire even. Because we didn't know Him. We didn't know what... If you don't know what you're missing, you don't pursue it. So we were all like sheep that had gone astray. Amen?
Amen.
But the Lord pursued us. Isn't that awesome that God pursued us? The reason why you're in Christ tonight is because God pursued you. It wasn't because you were so good and holy. It's because God pursued you. Because Jesus left the 99 to find the one lost sheep. Amen? Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was you. That was me. And because He loves you that much, He pursued you. And He allowed some things to happen in your life. Because He didn't want you to miss out on eternity with Him. Amen? Hell was never designed for mankind. In Matthew 25, it says that it was prepared for the devil and his angels. But that will be the fate of those who reject Christ. And so we plead with people to come to Christ, to come to the only one who can blot out your sin, the only one who can save your soul. Because the fact of the matter is, before we come to Christ, we're already lost.
Yes.
We're already lost in our sins. When Jesus came, He leveled the playing field, folks. Every mountain was brought down, every valley was brought up. Amen? You're all going to have to come the same way, and that is through Jesus, who is the door. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. Not through any other way, but through the way that God had established, and that is through the blood of the covenant. And even scientists know that the life is in the blood. When a person bleeds out, their life goes out. And so what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Amen. It's the blood of Jesus that carries also the life of the Spirit. And the Spirit and the blood bear witness. So as we have received mercy, then we also show mercy. We give mercy. As we have been thrown the lifesaver, and then we look for others. Amen. And we throw out the lifesaver and say, hey, here's Jesus. Go for Him. Amen? He will save you.
Amen.
He's the master of the sea. When you find yourself in the storms of life, we can find our refuge in Him. Isn't it good? Isn't the peace of God just wonderful? When we corporately come together, we open our hearts to honor God. An offering that's pure. Yeah. We have folks that, unfortunately, they don't really understand the grace of God. And they come in, you know, to the services. And if I look at you, I'm not picking on you tonight. I'm just saying that they'll come in and they will... They may be living in an adulterous or in some, you know... situation or in an arrangement that's not right. It's impure. It's unholy. It's not God ordained. They're living together out of wedlock, you know, out of a covenant. And when that happens, then they come and they want God to do for them. They want God to bless them. They want God to fill them with His power. And yet they don't want to let go of the world, yes, of those things that God says, I'm sorry that's, I don't accept that. I didn't create you that way. You're not designed to live that way. That is just, you know, that is the fall, a result of the fall. And so even Christians, you know, Christians sometimes will choose the way of the world. And it's called the way of Cain. It is the way of self-will. Cain, you know, was a son of God with Abel that came to bring an offering. And most scholars believe, you know, there's many ways that people look at that. That, well, it was because he didn't bring a blood sacrifice, but he brought, you know, from the produce of the ground. I don't see it that way. Why? Because he was a farmer. God created him to be a farmer, and he brought the first fruits, you know. But I believe this is the problem, is that even Abel had brought the best, it says, of his flock before God. He honored God, you see, with his best. God looks upon the heart. He didn't come grudgingly and say, well, here we go, you know. But he came with a heart that was pleased to please his father. Cain, on the other hand, his offering was rejected. And many believe, even in Jewish and in the Hebrew scriptures, that it really what it means there is that Cain had kept back the full amount that he was supposed to bring. In other words, he didn't bring a tithe before the Lord. I don't want to go into that tonight, but to say this is that when we give unto the Lord, we need to give our best. Yeah. Now, we're not going to take an offering tonight, and it's not even about an offering. It's talking about our lives. When people give their money, it's just a portion of their lives. It's a part of their lives, but it's not all of it. Because there are those who give their money, but in other ways they're holding back on God. Some people think that they're just going to throw this in and pay God off, like they're bribing God or something. And then you have other people that are serving God, but they're holding back on their money. And sometimes it just shows where their heart really is, because we know that it's not money, amen, that saves us. As a matter of fact, we know that money doesn't really come from the bank. It doesn't really come from your employer.
Right.
Your resources really come from your Father.
Amen.
He's the one who gave us health. He's the one who gave us breath. He's the one who enabled us even to be smart enough to possibly get an education and go and get a job that would pay well. Are you with me? We didn't receive anything, all right, apart from God's grace. That's good. So therefore, when we come to God, we should always come with the best, knowing that it all came from Him. And if we will step over that line to really trust God with whatever He asks us to give up, whether it's financial, God may tell you, I want you to, oh, this would be a great sacrifice for some, but I want you to shut off this TV. I want you to quit watching that show that you enjoy so much, that you might take that time and spend it with me. Mm. We'll find out where our priorities are right away. Are you with me tonight? It's a matter of whatever the Lord is asking you to give up for Him. You really never lose that which you give up for God. What you lose is that which you try to hold on to. Because the only thing that God can bless is that which you entrust to Him. So whatever God is telling you to give to Him, if you give to Him and you trust Him as you give over to Him, amen? Whether it be your service or your resources, whatever it might be, your time, you will never lose. You'll never lose. When the little boy offered the fishes and the loaves to Jesus, amen? He fed a multitude. But he probably was looking at it and saying, well, I ain't going to give you my lunch. He could have said that. How many know that Jesus didn't command him to give him his lunch? Something was going on. And that little boy trusted Jesus. Okay, Jesus. He's probably looking around saying, but there's a lot of folks here, Jesus. You know that, right?
Yeah.
So he gave him his fishes and his loaves. And everybody ate, and there was an abundance. There's 12 baskets left over. You know the story. But it was about trusting, really trusting God. How about this one? What if God is calling you and I to give up our right to be popular or to be accepted by the crowd or to be liked by everybody? How many know that when you really live for Jesus, you're not going to be the most popular person on the block? And I said this many times, but what matters is that you and I are popular with God. Amen. That He knows our name. Amen?
Amen.
That your name keeps coming up as a memorial. Your almsgiving, right? Your prayers are coming before God. Yes. They say, oh, I know you. When you see Jesus, He's going to say, I know who you are. You're that one that was constantly blessing people and loving people and praying for people. You're the one that was selfless. You're the one who gave your life away for me and for the gospel. And many that are first will be last. Many that are in the spotlight and seem to be on top of the pile are not going to be there in heaven, folks. Some people think if I can just be popular and have everybody like me and everybody think I'm this great spiritual guru and have a following, that somehow that makes me great. You're only going to be great if you're making Jesus great in the eyes of the people. Amen?
Amen.
If you're there to make yourself great, you're not going to be so great when you get to heaven. If you get to heaven. So we give cheerfully. What is it that God may be asking you and I to release, to give to Him? What is it that we value in life? You can find out who a person is by what they value. You'll find out what a person is like by what they spend their time doing. Correct? If we take a look at our own lives and say, well, what do I spend most of my time doing? That will show where my values are, where my priorities are, what my treasure is. Yeah. Some people, some guys especially, are workaholics. They spend all their time work. Now, work is a good thing. We're supposed to work. We're supposed to provide for our family. But some guys, they're just consumed with work. It becomes their god. And often it's the god of money that they're after. And they're never satisfied because they trash their bodies. And by the time they're done trashing their bodies, they can't even enjoy what they bought anyways. On the other hand, God's no advocate of laziness, is He? And if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So all of us are called, amen, to an assignment, to a purpose on this earth. And that is to glorify God in everything we do. Whether we're building houses, whether we're cleaning toilets, whether we're in politics or in entertainment or whatever it is, we do everything unto the Lord. And we do it with all of our heart. Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's at. So, sometimes the Lord is going to test you and I, and He's going to tell us to do something that's uncomfortable. That's a stretch beyond what we're comfortable doing. God's going to call you and I to do things that are above and beyond what we can do humanly. It's called faith. Walking in faith. Walking by faith. Walking by faith in the power of God to do immeasurably. Amen? Abundantly above all we could ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly. What God wants His people to do is to trust Him fully.
Yes.
So that His kingdom will come in and His will be done. When we're calling down the rain of heaven, you know, we're not just praying, God, fill me with your power so I can have goosebumps, right? But we receive the power to fulfill His purposes, right?
Yeah.
And as we read this morning, you know, Samson and Saul and others, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, prophets, priests, and kings and leaders, and when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, they were enabled to do something that naturally would be impossible for them. So if you have received an anointing from God, if you are born again and the Spirit of God is upon you tonight, you have been enabled to do things that would be naturally impossible. And the thing that you do that is naturally impossible would be what? Supernatural. And it's the supernatural manifestation of God's glory and God's power that reveals God to humanity. Hello. You see, the world loves itself. The world loves those who love them, right? But to love your enemies, that's something that's impossible, humanly speaking. But by the grace, the power of God, if we would reach out to Jesus and pray and ask God to help us, to give us what we need, amen? Come before His throne of grace, that we might receive grace and find mercy to help us in our time of need. As we approach God, He gives us what we need so that we can demonstrate, amen, the kingdom is here now among you. We are to represent Him in such a way that the world is going to say, there's something different about Danny. I've noticed a change in her. What happened to you? You have a peace in your life that you didn't have before. There's fruit of the Spirit. You know? How many see that in her now? You've seen changes in you and changes in all of us. God's changing us. But the manifestation of God's Spirit, of His grace, is what really the world is looking for. People are looking for heaven. You've heard it many times, but they're looking for love in all the wrong places. And so we've got to demonstrate through an abiding union in Christ, through a relationship of worship with God, walking with God, so that people are going to encounter the supernatural God, amen, through our lives. And they're going to say something like, isn't that the carpenter's son? They looked at Jesus and say, he's just the carpenter's son. Listen to the things that he's speaking of. Where did he get that wisdom at 12 years old? How is he able to perform such miracles? He's just the son of Joseph and Mary, they thought. And when they look at us and they see the clay and all of our hair coming out and whatever else, you know, disheveled and... Or even if we're beautiful to look upon, there's still flaws. Amen? They see the clay. If you hang out with somebody long enough, there's going to be some clay. But when that clay is enveloped by the glory of God, and the Shekinah glory of God begins to shine forth from that clay, they're saying, whoa, what? Something is different about you. And the Lord knows those who are His, and He has those that are out there, folks, that are hanging off the vine. The fruit is hanging off the vine. There is some ripe fruit out there, even in Shelton. Little by little, amen, somebody got saved this morning. People are coming to the Lord. Gave his heart to the Lord first time this morning. He cried. I mean, I believe really, I asked him, and he's just said something, you know, something happened. And that was the beginning. We've just got to kind of reel him in and get him discipled now. But that's exciting, you know. But one heart at a time. One heart at a time. But when they see the supernatural God manifested through a natural person, it causes people to take note. They looked at, was it Peter and John? And they marveled because they were ignorant, unlearned fishermen, as the Bible says in the King James, right? They're saying, these guys, they don't have any PhDs or degrees, and yet, how could they do such things? How could they speak? Where did they get that kind of influence? But they took note that what? They had been with Jesus. That's what we got to do, folks. It's all about just being with Jesus, hanging out with Jesus, drinking from the springs of living water, staying filled with the Holy Spirit, being endued with power from on high so that we have the supernatural ability to do the impossible. And when the world sees the impossible done, they look beyond you to say, I know you couldn't have done that. Or be careful that you don't let them think that you're the one that did it either. They came and they looked on Peter and John, right? When they healed the man at the gate. And they said, why are you looking upon us as though by our own glory and virtue, you know, or power and virtue, we have made this man well? It's by faith in the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, that this man stands well before you today. We were very careful to make sure Jesus gets the glory. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, the people that listen to this are going to say, now, what? He's all over the place. Actually, I'm not. I'm just letting God do the work tonight. Yes. Hallelujah. So turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17. Hallelujah. John chapter 17. This great prayer that the Lord had offered up on our behalf. He was getting ready to go to the cross. Jesus spoke these words in verse 1, John chapter 17. And he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Do you see how everything that Jesus did was to glorify His Father?
Yes.
We are to do the same. Everything we do in word or in deed, we do all, amen, to the glory of God.
Amen.
As you have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as you have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You notice he didn't say that they may learn about you, but they may know you. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Who was Jesus? And there are certain groups who deny the deity of Christ. What Bible are they reading? They don't have the same Jesus, folks. It's the spirit of Antichrist that would deny the fact that Jesus Christ was the Word that became flesh. That was in the very beginning with the Father. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, Father, he said, glorify me together with yourself in the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have revealed or manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. When he talks about the name, revealing the name, he's talking about the very person. Amen? When you talk about the name of somebody, if you mention somebody's name, what do you think of? Do you think about just the name? No, you think about the person. So he's talking about the name of the Father. What? Revealing the Father to the people. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given to me. Do you see how we receive and then we give? We receive and we give. And they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Now, do you see selection here, folks? I don't understand it all, but I'm going to say thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Amen?
Amen.
And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Who are we supposed to glorify? Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Wow, what is he saying? What is he doing, folks? He's reaching down to humanity and he's lifting us up. Lifting us up with him. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. I kept them focused on you. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that was Judas. that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Does God want you to have joy? I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Why didn't Jesus want to take us out of the world? How are we going to be salt and light? How are we going to continue, amen, the works that Jesus began if we're all getting out of here? He didn't come, amen. Most of us have a rescue mentality. God, just get me out of here. And God's saying, you have an assignment. You're not done yet. Get busy. We want a rescue. He wants a harvest. Set them apart. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. This is what makes the difference right here. Those who walk according to true reality, what is really real, are the ones who walk in the truth. Amen. That's why when we know the truth sets us free. Because we're not living under delusion. We're not living in deception. We're not receiving a lie as though it were true. That would be a deception, right? But we live in truth. Truth is good. Because truth is what's real. Come on, get real. Speak the word. Speak the truth. Get real. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, set myself apart, that they may also may be sanctified by the truth. Now, this is the part I like. I like it all, but listen, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who's that? That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. Wow. A bottle inside a bottle. That the world may believe that you sent me. You see, the world's not going to know that Jesus came except that we abide in him. Amen? Yeah. And the glory, listen, which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I want you to look at verse 22 here. Take a look at it. The glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. When the Word of God speaks about the glory of God, and when the Father says, I will not give my glory to another, all right, or to graven images, folks, I want you to hear something here. That was then. Here, God is saying very clearly, and I want you to hear this, that it is His intention to give you the kingdom. And with the kingdom comes the power and the glory. You're not stealing God's glory because He's given it to you. You don't steal something you own or possess. Are you hearing it today? Amen. We get caught up in, oh, you're stealing. No, God gave it to you. That's why we don't have to go around and say, look what I did, look what I did. We give God the glory because if there's any glory, it's what He's given us. Right. And He is giving us His glory. Yes. Why? So the world may see Jesus through us. Yes. We're the body of Christ on the earth. We're the visible body of Christ on the earth. He's the head. And the glory comes down from the head. Amen. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil, amen, of the anointing that came down upon the high priest Aaron, who is a type of Christ, upon the beard, upon the garments. The garments are the body of Christ. Jesus is giving His glory to His church, so His church will be beautiful, and the world will see the reality of the kingdom in us. Oh! So we have received glory. For what reason? That we might reveal Christ to the world and point the world to Christ. They're going to say, whatever you got, I want. Do you see the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Staying filled, staying in an abiding union with Christ, so that the Shekinah, the glory of God, is going to be evident in our life. So even though they're going to see the clay, they're going to see, yeah, that's just so-and-so over there. But there's something supernatural about so-and-so. How could they speak that way? How could they know such things? Where did they get that wisdom? Where did they get that ability even to heal the sick? Is it not from the Lord Himself who gave to His church to glorify Him on the earth? That's why we don't boast except in the Lord. You don't have to seek something that you already possess. You don't have to seek something that you already possess. Did we receive Christ? Are you complete in Christ? That's what the word is in Colossians, amen, chapter 2. You're complete in Christ, in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What's the purpose? God wanted to inhabit, God wanted to possess, amen, human beings by His Holy Spirit. That He might reign, are you with me?
Yes.
From heaven on the earth,
yes,
through the body of Christ.
Yes.
Until the time comes when the head will return, amen?
Yes.
And He will establish His throne in Jerusalem.
Yes.
And then all nations, kindreds, tribes, and tongues will come and worship before Him. And His church, His bride, His body are going to be with Him. And they're going to be seated even to the degree where we will judge angels in that time. What a privileged people. The glory that You gave me, I have given them. You're not stealing His glory, folks. God gave it to you. Accept it. Say thank You. Give praise to the Lord. For He is good. I and them, you and me, that they may be made perfect or complete in one. That the world may know that You have sent me and have loved them as You have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom You gave me may be with me where I am. That they may behold My glory which You have given me. For You loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known You, but I have known You, and these have known that You sent me. And I have declared to them Your name, and will declare it, that the love with which You loved me, are you with me, almost finished, may be in them, and I in them. The Father, the love of the Father. Thank You, Lord. Now, this little light of mine, Jonathan says he has a bonfire. I'll tell you what, folks, if you are in Christ tonight, if you have been born of the Spirit of God, if you've been baptized in His Holy Spirit, amen. That's the oil on the fire, folks. You know what I'm saying? And that flame, it's a matter of just fanning it into flame, stirring up the gift within you. Amen? Worshiping God, calling on His name, exalting, lifting up Jesus. Amen? Singing in your heart, making melody unto the Lord with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen?
Amen.
Calling upon the name of the Lord. Meditating on, thinking on, dwelling on the goodness of the Lord, filling yourself with the fullness of Him, the goodness of God, amen?
Amen?
Through the revelation of Himself to you. Now, if we have an abiding union with Christ, then the world's going to see, amen, that this thing we're talking about is not like any other religion, not like any other thing that's out there.
No.
Come on, amen? God didn't call us to bondage. God called us to freedom.
Yes.
God came to set the people of his day free from religion.
Yes.
Amen? And unfortunately, a lot of Christians are still living in religion. Jesus. Jesus. Has anybody here received the glory of God?
Yes.
All right. So it's not any longer this little light of mine. The devil wants you to feel unworthy, that you're not worth much, that you really don't have a whole lot to offer. These are the things he wants to tell you. Because he's actually afraid of what you have inside you.
That's right.
God wants to get out, folks, through us. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But he has given that over to the people of the covenant. He had chosen from the very beginning that Adam would be the one, amen, that would have dominion over the earth. That's why God himself had to become a man and become like us to redeem us and to replace man into his original place as ambassador, representing the kingdom government of heaven on the earth. You and I, in Christ, John 1:12, are now what? The sons of God. Daughters. Sons means both. So we know that. And therefore, the light in you is great. It is really, really great. It's the measure of our belief. Jesus says, according to your faith, let it be unto you. It's whether we really believe in that light. We really believe in that God. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy One,
yes,
which we have received. We have been, amen, brought into covenant with. As we believe, it's to the measure that we believe. And we grow in faith through the word, hearing of the word. Amen. Of the revelation of who God says we are now. As we're realizing who we are, then we are emboldened and empowered by the word of God and by his spirit to demonstrate that reality. Wow. So quit singing this little light of mine. Amen. It's this huge light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. As a matter of fact, folks, you guys are blinding to a lot of people that are in darkness. You walk through the grocery line and whatever it is, they don't even want to look at you. There's something about you they're just not comfortable with. And sometimes it's that spirit in them that doesn't like the spirit that's in you. But there are people that are out there that are desperate to get free from that spirit that's in them and get the spirit that's in you. And those are your assignments. Those are the people that God is calling you to speak the word of life to. For God so loved the world. He gave his son for you, to die for you, to deliver you out of darkness and bring you into his light, into his kingdom. Jesus said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He died, folks, to give us a kingdom. He doesn't want, amen, that light that's in us to be hidden under a bushel. He doesn't want that thing to be squelched. He doesn't want that flow to be cut off. He doesn't want us to grieve his spirit. He doesn't want us to quench the spirit. But he wants that light to be set up on, amen, on a hill. A city that is on a hill. He wants that light to be, hallelujah, on a candle stand, amen.
Yeah.
That all may see we are children of the light. And there are those who are wandering in the darkness that are looking for that light, folks, and they've got to see it in you and I. Because we have been given the assignment as agents representing him on the earth. You don't have to achieve something that God has already given you. All right? You can't earn credit with God.
No.
In the sense that our justification is not going to be because we worked at it. Our justification, that means just as if our sins had never happened, comes as a result of us trusting in what Christ has already done for us and on our behalf. Amen? that we were not able to do. I can rest in his in that assurance that God loved me that much. And you see the heart of Jesus here in this prayer of how much he loves people and how much he wants to give to us his glory. You and I, most of us here have children, have had children. So we want to impart into our children good things. We want to grace our children. We want to bless our children. We want our children to do better than we do. You see, that's the heart of the Father. As in heaven, so on the earth. We see in our relationships here a model, or at least in some cases a model of that. The enemy's always trying to mix that up and mess it up and confuse that thing and get people out of the wrong, you know, Joe with Joe and, you know, Bob with Bob and whatever. But if we're in the divine order that God had established for man, amen, for procreation, and if we are good parents, we want our children to be blessed. We want our children to grow up and be healthy and happy and prosperous and all those things. So why do we sometimes think that that's not what God wants for me? God wants me to be miserable. None of you believe that. But folks, there are a lot of people in the church that think that way. They think it's some kind of virtue just to be beat down and miserable. And or the devil has lied to them and told them, you know, you're not worth it. God doesn't care about you. And they believe that instead of what Jesus said. God loves you, he said. For God so loved the world. What are we going to believe? You see? So when you have confidence in God's love for you, then you can come boldly, confidently, to the throne by the grace, amen, and receive the mercy and the grace you need so that that light that's in you will begin to just, right, shine brightly. And the world sees the reality of the kingdom in the people of the kingdom. And then they're going to want to know the king, amen, that you're representing. Yeah. And you have to tell them, hey, I can give you Jesus, amen. Silver and gold I may not have, but what I do have, I can give to you. How many know that when that man was healed at the Gate Beautiful, what he was given him was Jesus? Amen. He wasn't giving him stuff or things. He encountered the living God. The living God reached out through them and touched that man and raised him up. Because the Spirit of God dwells within you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So arise and shine, for your light has come.